How do you do? We want you to meet a woman who is both brilliant and gifted, who managed to survive the terrors of the Holocaust and the destruction of war. Afterward, safe and building a successful career, she discovered the emptiness of her life. And that emptiness was filled to overflowing when her heart and mind and life were unshackled. From Chicago, the Pacific Garden Mission brings you Unshackled, the unique dramatic series that tells the true stories of real people. Considerably more than 100 years have passed since the beginnings of the rescue mission that has come to be known in Chicago as the Old Lighthouse. Then, as now, Pacific Garden Mission has given help to homeless people. Food, clothing, lodging, medical and dental care, and counsel. All are free. Counselors, satisfied that material needs have been met, turn to spiritual needs. And the goal is regeneration. This radio series began in 1950 and has grown unbrokenly ever since. Today, Unshackled's heard almost everywhere on Earth and has been translated and re-dramatized in other languages. This outreach has come to be as some listening have made it their business to help make it possible for others to hear the program that makes you face yourself and think. This is a story that begins in Cologne and stretches through Berlin, Vienna, and New York City to Dallas. It stretches in time from peace to terror and then to peace. The woman who lived the story has found fulfillment. You'll learn how as we bring you the true story of Lily Wolf right now on Unshackled.
My life began in the ancient city of Cologne, in what is now West Germany. Ours was a truly Orthodox family. The love of God was instilled in our hearts as the basic truth. In spite of this, when World War I took my two brothers into danger, the horror of it shook my faith in God and led me away from the religious security of my childhood. I became a so-called modern Jew, proud of my heritage, but with little faith to sustain me in times of trouble. And trouble there was. I had worked for years to establish my own business of dress designing. As many as 40 women were employed at a time. Then came 1933, and trouble.
You have outdone yourself, Lily. This gown is superb.
I'm glad to hear you say that.
Oh, I'm really tempted, Lily.
Tempted?
If circumstances were different, I'd ask you to design another gown for me. As things are, though, I don't dare. You understand, don't you, Lily?
I understand. Since that man came to power here in Germany, I have lost more than half my best customers.
Oh, I have nothing against the Jews, Lily. You know that. But the Nazi papers have begun publishing the names of people who do business with Jewish firms. And if my name is published, my husband will be very angry.
If you'll slip the gown off, I'll have my people wrap it for you.
Oh, thank you. Oh, can you use a plain box?
Plain?
Or cover it with wrapping paper. I wouldn't want to be seen carrying a box with the name of a Jewish designer on it.
Some customers remained loyal, even though they were endangered. The girls who worked for me were loyal, too. Even on the terrible day that we came to call Crystal Day.
I heard about it while I was coming to work.
They're breaking windows in Jewish stores everywhere.
Does the person who told you this really know anything?
Well, he's a Nazi, or at least a sympathizer.
Oh, then I suppose we might as well prepare to have our windows broken.
Not if we girls can help it.
What can you do?
We're all going to go out and sit on the steps. Maybe when the Nazis see we're in the way, they'll pass this place by.
I have no idea how effective those girls might have been. As it turned out, the action of the Crystal Day groups was halted just before it reached our building. Soon afterward, though, my business was taken from me by Nazi order. I was paid nothing for it. It became important for me to be as inconspicuous as possible. I had good German friends, Meta, Mati, and Dorothy. Without them, I surely would not have survived.
You can't live in a place where you're likely to be noticed, Lily.
Anywhere I go, people will ask questions. They'll ask for identification before letting me in. And when they discover I'm a Jew, they'll have no room for me.
Then you'd better come and live with me.
Well, I don't want to impose on you, Dorothy.
It will not be an imposition. And if anyone is imposing on me, it is not you. It is Hitler with his insane attitudes towards Jews.
For a time, I was able to work as a costume designer in the Jewish theater. Meanwhile, the persecution was increasing. At least 8 of my near relatives were deported to Poland and there put to death. My own chance to escape from Berlin came in August of 1940.
I'm going back to Vienna, Lily. I think you should go with me.
If I do, I won't have a job.
Well, that isn't important. I'll be working. And life in Vienna may be safer for you than it is here.
Well, won't the police expect me to register my address?
Probably, but I think you'll be safer if you don't register. This is a time for you to simply drop out of sight, Lily. In Vienna, you'll go underground.
That's the way we handled it. Dorothy registered as resident of the subletted apartment, while I did not. I stayed out of sight as much as possible, hoping people who saw me there would take me for a visitor and not a resident. That period of exile was destined to go on for 5 years. Our friends, Meta and Mati, came from Cologne as often as possible, bringing food and clothing. Then, as food became increasingly scarce, the ration cards of the others would not feed me as well as them.
We're all willing to do with less food and share it with you, Lily.
But that shouldn't be. You know, of course, there is one way I can get a ration card.
A safe way?
How safe is anything these days? If I register as a Jew with the authorities and go to live in a house designated as especially for Jews, I'll be issued a ration card.
Yes, and you'll also be in danger.
During the day, I'll come here to stay. But at night, I must be in my registered dwelling place. If the place were raided and I'm missing, every person living in that house would be punished. Since I was going and coming between my registered address in the Jewish sector and Dorothy's apartment, I had to deal with special problems. One of them was the matter of identification. By this time, all Jews were required to wear on the lapel a yellow star, letters with the word Jude. I made a shawl for my coat to cover the yellow star. In Dorothy's section of the city, the star was hidden. But when I crossed the bridge over the Danube and was in the Jewish sector, I unbuttoned the shawl to reveal the star. As the plan to ship all Jews to the death camps was intensified, we were given a new order.
You mean you have to have a traveling bag packed at all times?
That's the order.
Why?
I suppose the idea is for us to be ready at all times to be picked up and taken to the death camps.
Oh, horrible.
Also, we are required to paint our names on the side of the bag in big white letters.
You're going to prepare such a bag?
I have no choice.
Then I will help you to pack. Oh, is this the bag you've chosen?
Yes.
Well, let's see, you should have warm stockings, heavy shoes, a good blanket, those things at least. Oh, Lily, does all this frighten you?
Of course. It feels like I'm digging my own grave. But now I'm ready to join the march of death. To escape might even make me feel ashamed.
What a terrible time in history. Oh, there. Are there any other things you want in your traveling bag?
I don't think so.
Understand one thing, Lily. If you have to go, I will also go with you. Now, let's close this thing.
That was the spirit of my three German friends. If you have to go, I will go with you. They helped to give me courage, and courage I surely needed during my days in Vienna. Yes?
Open! Open at once!
Yes?
I am ordered to take you before Obersturmbannführer Brunner.
What? Now?
At once. Now.
I knew that Brunner was a high-ranking Nazi official who was in charge of deporting to Poland the entire Jewish population of Vienna. When we reached his office, I was required to stand in the hall outside it and at attention for nearly an hour. At last, I was allowed to stand before the Obersturmbannführer.
Do you know that your father made application for you to be allowed to go to Berlin in order to leave the country?
Yes.
Do you also know it is forbidden for Jews to ride on our trains? This application is a crime. And you and your father will be shipped to Poland. Don't look at me like that. I said... Gruber! Gruber!
Yes? You called me?
Of course I called you. You're not deaf. This woman, this Jew, is leaving the country.
Leaving, sir?
You heard me. Instruct the immigration officials to prepare for this woman all the papers needed for departure from the country without delay.
Yes, sir. I'll do it now, sir.
Thank you.
For what? Out! Get out!
My papers were ready within 3 weeks, but the Russians entered the war at this time, and the borders were closed. I decided there was no other course but to remain in Vienna.
More and more Jews are being taken from their homes, Lily. I'm afraid the Nazis will come knocking at your door some night.
I've already been warned of it. The head of that household told me this morning that I should stay away since I have another place to live.
Did he give a reason for the warning?
He said the people on our side of the street will be the next to be taken.
Then don't go back, Lily. From now on, you live here.
I went into almost complete hiding, not even daring to go near the windows. I lived with fear. First, that I would be taken because of my being a Jew. Second, that my friends would be taken away because they had hidden and protected me. All this was a great strain, but new problems lay ahead. As the Allied powers grew in strength, Shortages of food and living quarters in the city became more acute. Air raids were increasingly frequent. Everyone was in danger.
In a moment, we'll bring you the rest of the true story of Lily Wolfe. Now, here's Pacific Guard and Mission Superintendent Harry Saulnier. Harry, we're less than 5 weeks away from the 31st anniversary of the first broadcast in the Unshackled series. What do you have in mind for a celebration?
I think the best way to celebrate any birthday involves gift-giving.
Well, you're not asking for gifts, I hope.
Of course not. But I'm suggesting we give gifts to our friends who listen.
That's a very good idea. What kind of gifts do you have in mind?
What about the Unshackled short story booklets?
That's a very useful and a very attractive gift. How many would you like to send out in a packet?
Well, 3 should be about right. That will offer a good variety of stories.
And you want to send the booklets without charge, of course.
That's the way we always do it.
Good. Then let me explain a little to our friends who are listening. We have taken many of the Unshackled dramas and rewritten them in short story form. Those short stories have been printed in handy shirt pocket-sized booklets, one story to a booklet. At the end of each is a clear statement of God's plan of salvation and an opportunity to record a decision to trust in Christ.
These booklets are perfect to give to someone you know. They are really effective tools of evangelism.
For your free gift pack of 3 booklets, address Unshackled, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. That's Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. If you listen in Europe, you may address Unshackled, care of Transworld Radio, 175 Tower Bridge Road, London, Southeast 1, England. If you listen in the Philippines, you may address Unshackled in care of the Pacific Mission, Post Office Box 1467, Manila.
My friends Meta and Mati came to Vienna and shared the apartment with Dorothy and me. Then it was found that I had a condition requiring immediate surgery. Meta and Mati walked across the city with me to the hospital, but when I was asked for a baptismal certificate, I had to tell the clerk I must go home to gather my papers. There, we tried to think of a way around the problem.
Of course, the reason they asked for a certificate of baptism is that it is something no Jew would have.
I think I have an idea.
Well, it had better be a good one.
It is. I have a baptismal certificate, of course.
But your name is Meta Schmidt.
And when you go to the hospital, your name becomes Meta Schmidt.
What?
You are taking my baptismal certificate.
I can never forget the willingness of those good friends of mine to run great risks to protect me. As the war neared its end, though, we all found ourselves in very great danger. The city was under continuous attack. American bombers were overhead much of the time. We moved some furniture down to the cellar and stayed there day and night. Others did the same thing. Among them was a family who still adored Hitler.
Do you hear the bombers overhead? They're falling into the Fuhrer's clever trap.
What clever trap?
When they have committed their full aerial forces, then the Luftwaffe will strike and drive them from the skies.
What gives you that idea? At a time when we're hiding in a cellar like rats.
What other reason could there be? Our Fuhrer is a man of victory. Sieg Heil!
All of this finally came to an end. In the spring of 1945, I knew the war was over and the Nazi regime would trouble the world no more. I could walk in the shattered city without fear and without my yellow star.
It's really over. All the years of agony are ended.
The trees, they're beautiful. And here on the grounds of the old palace of the Habsburgs, there are not too many of the marks of war.
I think we've won. Humanity has won over inhumanity.
Free. I'm really free.
In the days that followed, I found many former friends. I also established contact with relatives in the United States. Although I received offers from four theaters in Vienna to design costumes for 9 plays, I did everything possible to speed my emigration to the United States. I traveled by freight train to an assembly camp in North Germany. It was in February and bitterly cold when we boarded an old war transport vessel. 6 weeks from the time of leaving Vienna, I reached New York. My first years in America were very hard. The first job I found was as an alteration hand in Rochester, New York. At 19½ cents an hour, I sewed on labels for 2 days. Then, knowing I had the background for something better, I went back to New York City and started my own studio. God's hand led me to submit designs fashioned of actual materials, and I secured the order to make several pieces of the wardrobe of Miss America of 1952, Miss Colleen K. Hutchings. Later, I felt I should move to Dallas, Texas, though I wasn't certain why that should be. About the middle of July, 1953, I turned on the radio on a Sunday and heard a sermon.
When Job was so terribly afflicted and his friends were offering him thin and rather hypocritical comfort, he spoke out with remarkable affirmation of faith. Job said, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." He even carried that faith to the subject of death, when he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Friend, how often has God's hand protected you in time of danger? Has he brought you through the fire safely? In time of trouble, people often ask, "Why me?" It is a question we should be asking also when God preserves us from destruction. Why me, Lord? It's the same question we read in the Word of God. What is man that thou art mindful of him? I believe that when you have come safely through peril and ask, "Why me?" the answer is so that you will have the opportunity to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, and so receive the gift of eternal life.
Twice I listened to that man as he spoke on the radio, and the name of Jesus fell into my heart. I said aloud, "Jesus, can you help me?" And he heard my call. I wrote a letter to my sister and told her I felt some power was keeping me going. As I returned from the mailbox, I went a block out of my way and walked into a church. There I found the education minister and minister of music, Gail Dunn.
"How can I help you?"
"Can you teach me to understand Jesus?"
"I think so. Jesus is the Messiah of the Jews. On earth he was God with us. Risen from the grave to sit at the right hand of God the Father, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. It is Jesus who paid the penalty for our sins once and for all, with his life on the cross. Trust in him as your Savior, and you have forgiveness and a new life."
That night, at the church's evening service, I opened my heart to Christ. This is in keeping with John 1, 11 and 12. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. My entire life changed. Things which before meant so much to me became less important. New outlooks and ideas filled my mind. I would never be able to give up the most priceless gift, the gift of God's grace, which a human being can have on this earth. I remember so well and with so much love the Passover celebration of my Orthodox family when I was a child. There were four cups of red wine, the last especially reserved for the sudden coming of the prophet Elijah as the forerunner of the Messiah. It derives from a verse in the book of Malachi. Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, the Messiah whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple. There is no doubt in my mind that Jesus of Nazareth is the promised Messiah. The Tanakh is filled with forecasts of his coming, describing with great accuracy the circumstances of his birth, ministry, and death. He speaks to us in the words of Zechariah, "They shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son." And in Malachi, we read the promise for the day when we recognize Messiah, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels." He has given me life, and that more abundantly.
Have you come through dark and dangerous times? Have you wondered why? Well, a clue may lie in Lily's story. Has God spared you so that you may put your trust in his Son? To counsel with someone who is concerned about you, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. If you listen in Europe, you may address Unshackled, care of Transworld Radio, 175 Tower Bridge Road, London, Southeast 1, England. If you listen in the Philippines, you may address Unshackled, care of the Pacific Mission, Post Office Box 1467, Manila. Write this week and let us know you listen, and do ask others to listen also. Heard in the true story of Lily Wolfe, where Edie Howard is Lily, with Mary Skoll, Bunny Catcher, Russ Reed, and Larry Moran. Original music, Lucille Becker. Unshackled's produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Write this week, and if you need spiritual help now, you may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Someone who cares is waiting for your call. Area 312-922-1462.